you would stand with me, let's give God glory for his word. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So today, I feel like this is going to be an important topic as we begin our fast and prayer season. We're laying a foundation for the rest of 2019. And I think all of us are believing 2019 is going to maybe the best year and will be the best year of this church's life, okay? And for many of you, your own personal lives and families. Something we have to keep in mind as we fast, as we take time to fast and consecrate this time. Many of us look at when we do something like fasting, we look at it as a sacrifice, right? We say, I am sacrificing food. I am sacrificing TV. I'm sacrificing social media. Whatever it is you have chosen to fast. It's not for me to say, it's between you and God. And how you do it is between you and God. We look at it as a sacrifice. And that's good, but it's also bad at the same time because it's more than a sacrifice. Let's look at 1 Samuel 15:12. Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. So Samuel is making a declarative statement here that obedience to God is more important than any sacrifice you can make. And there's a reason why. And we're going to get into that reason in a little bit. But sacrifice is an action we take. Obedience comes from a different place, comes from much deeper. Okay? To many, especially, you know, Christmas just passed and Easter is a few months away, they look at going to church on Easter and Christmas as a sacrifice. I might be going for mom and dad. I might be going to make myself feel good or covered for the year. Or even, you know, you here today. I know a lot of times the younger kids are like, I'm only here because mom and dad make me, so I'm sacrificing this time. Well, how much more important is it to God that we come out of obedience, we do things out of obedience than sacrifice? And let me explain to you where we're going with this, but I want to read Hebrews 10, 1 through 10 first. For the law, referring to the Old Testament law, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, that means the Old Testament covenant was symbolic or a shadow, a forerunner, an example of something that is going to come, which is the new covenant in Jesus, with Jesus. Okay? So the old covenant sets up the new covenant in Christ. And not the very image of the things can never with these same sacrifices. So the things of the old foreshadowed the things in Christ, but they can never duplicate the perfection of the things in Christ. Okay? Which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then, would they have ceased to be offered? So the question here is saying is, if the things of the old covenant basically make somebody perfect, Wouldn't they have stopped? The reason why year after year we offer sacrifice after sacrifice is because we make a sacrifice and within an hour we break it. You know, we sin. We, in a way, we make the sacrifice, going to the altar, ram, sheep, a dove, whatever it might be, goat. And within 2 minutes, we've cussed out somebody. We've had bitter or anger feelings towards somebody. We hated on somebody. We just thought negative thoughts. We've lusted. We've done whatever it is that we do that it's considered sin or things, something not of God. And now everything we just did, we just blemished. I mean, how frustrated do you feel when you wash your favorite shirt or your favorite dress or your favorite outfit and you put it on getting ready to go out for a big night or a big day and you spill coffee on it right there? Don't you get frustrated? Well, that's exactly what he's talking about. If washing this article of clothing once is going to keep it clean for the rest of its life, that's awesome. It doesn't, so that's why we invest in washing machines and do 5 to 6 loads of laundry a week. So what's the point here? So for the worshipers once purified who have had no more consciousness of sins, but in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. So you think you're clean, you're great, but then you sin, so now you know you have to go back next year. So within the first day, you're already thinking, in 364 days, I have to sacrifice again, if not sooner. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Christ fulfills God's will. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering, you, meaning God, Father in heaven, did not desire, but a body you, God the Father, have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. To do God's will is to be obedient to God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire. This is the third time this has been said. Once should be enough, but when anytime the Bible says something more than once, you need to be a little more, take notice of it. You did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. That is Christ. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ, of Jesus Christ, once and for all. So saying the sacrifice, but more than sacrifice, the obedience of doing the will of God that was enacted in Christ was the one thing that took away everything, okay? It's the one thing. And we look at, Jesus died on the cross. Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross. Christ doesn't talk of himself as a sacrifice, does he, here? He says, I'm not sacrificing myself. I am doing your will, O God. So what's the focus on here? What we see right away is when we sacrifice, a lot of times the focus is on ourselves. I am doing this. I'm the one doing this, so the burden is on me to do this. Jesus is saying, I am obeying you. It's an attitude. It's a mindset difference. So as we enter this season and fasting and praying, we need to change our mindset over what difference between making a sacrifice and being obedient. One of the things my wife and I have learned is as we've entered December and heading into January every year, you know, we ask Holy Spirit, How do you want us to fast this year? We've never had a year that was the same as another the year before. Every year is different. And I remember telling my wife 3 weeks before January started that, yeah, I was telling God how I want to fast this year. And he laughed and said, no, this is how you're going to fast. I kid you not. I decided how I was going to fast. And then the Lord, that day, after I told him how I decided to fast, he says, no, this is how I want you to fast. So I came home and told my wife, God won. And this is how I'm going to be fasting this year. Wasn't what I planned. But see, it's not a sacrifice. It's obedience to what God has asked me to do. Okay? It's a mindset. So I want to look at a couple of things here. 2 points. Number one, sacrifice is not obedience. Don't get the two mixed up. Sacrifice is not obedience. People mistake it for obedience. One of the commentators said, though ordained by God, the sacrifices and offerings were unsatisfactory because they were merely shadows and symbols. God willed that they should be fulfilled in the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. So obedience to the will of God takes all those sacrifices or things we call sacrifice and gives them real purpose and meaning. Gives them weight. Heavy weight. Because now I know I don't have to wait 364 days to make another sacrifice for my sins. I know the will of God is that I stay in His will. So whatever I do right there and then, I can say, Lord, I'm washed in your blood. Wash me clean right now. I repent of this thing. I want to get right back on track. I want to stay the course in you. I want to stay in the place of obedience. A lot of times, I like to use the word positioning our hearts or ourselves to the place to receive what God is pouring out and what God is doing. Being in the right position. So God, right now, right here, let's do this. Get me back on course. That's obedience. It's knowing what God's heart for me is. Because what is God's heart for us? Isn't it relationship? Isn't God's heart to have a continuous, unbreakable relationship with every one of His son and daughter? Right? And the very simplistic way of discussing sin is sin breaks that relationship or puts a wall up or hinders or puts a stumbling block. And we need to right there go, in Jesus' name, I receive, Lord God, what you already did. I know what I just did or what I thought or whatever the case may be. I receive it. Wash me clean. I want to stay obedient to the fact that you love me so much, you want to stay in relationship with me. God's heart is to have unceasing communication with His child. Right? Isn't it every parent's greatest desire that their kids actually talk to them? And the kids actually listen to what they have to say? Well, that's already built into us. Why? Because God built it in. Because God established it. That's His will. And that's how we stay obedient to that. Keep that relationship unbreakable. Sacrifice is something we do. Obedience starts in the heart prior to anything we do. Obedience is a choice to humble ourselves and position ourselves at that place where the relationship with God will be maintained and remain steady and continues to flow naturally and unhindered. Sacrifice is actually not a natural human thing, right? It's not natural to sacrifice. But in the Holy Spirit, it becomes a natural thing to stay obedient. Why? Because obedience is based on agape love, a commitment, that choice. Not the emotion love, but the agape love, the love in its purest form. Obedience says, I will do your will, even if I don't know what this means. And even in my natural way of thinking, I can't even agree with it because it makes no sense to me. But I trust you. I trust you that there's a reason why you're communicating this for me. I trust you, God, why you've asked me to fast in this way. I trust you, God, why you've asked me to be here at this particular time, in this particular day, or in this position, or to meet with this person. I trust you because I love you because you first loved me while I was a sinner. See, that becomes more natural when love is kind of the bond that links obedience to the heart of God, right? Because it was out of love the Father sent the Son. Out of love, the Son released the Spirit to do what? To intercede, keep communication flowing, correct? It was out of love that this all happened. And out of love, obedience flows. Sacrifice becomes natural only when obedience precedes it. Why? Because it doesn't become a sacrifice anymore. The act doesn't become so grudgingly. See, when God told me how he wants me to fast, what I know now that I didn't know many years ago or realize to this extent is he gives us the grace to accomplish what he's asking us to do. Just like what Jenny mentioned earlier. The human mind goes, oh man, giving up meat, meatballs, sausage, God, I got to have it. How can I say no to it? For me, it's pizza, you know? And all that stuff. But when God says, this is how I want you to do it, and he has his reasons why, and I say, yes, Lord, I will do it in obedience, in that agape love, his grace then comes over me that allows me to do it, that strengthens me, just like Jenny strengthens her to say no to it. I don't want this. It's the same thing. One of our prayers sometimes when we're praying for somebody to quit any type of addiction. Lord, let that alcohol taste so bitter when it touches their lips next time that they don't want it anymore. Give them that grace. And if that's what your heart is, God's going to do that. God can help you with that. So obedience becomes, sacrifice, when preceded by obedience, does become more natural because it's done with a loving heart, a willing heart. See, obedience also leads to joy in the sacrifice, right? When I obey, because isn't God faithful? When I obey, when I'm also declaring, whether I consciously think of it or not, I am declaring in my own heart, God, you're asking me to do this because you're faithful to do something else. That I know that when I stay in your will, you are faithful to release a blessing or a type of blessing or whatever this great outcome that's meant to come through this breakthrough. That's why we're fasting this month. There's many breakthroughs we are praying for as a church and many of us individually for ourselves and our families we are praying for. So when God says, I want you to fast and pray this way, that gives me the confidence and the knowledge that since he is good, and he is faithful, I do it his way, something good's going to happen out of it. So that gives me hope, which is joy, which is the joy of the Lord is my strength, which enables me to continue it. There's a process to this. He is faithful. So obedience leads to joy in the act of sacrifice. When I'm doing it with that recognition of who he is, and I'm not doing it grudgingly, Lord. I'm doing it because it is your will. It is your will. What did Jesus say in the garden? Not my will. Take this cup, but since you know this is what needs to happen, take it. I'll do it. And he went through. And how do we know he went through with a heart of joy? Now, he wasn't kicking up his heels. You know, he wasn't smiling, laughing, obviously, going to the cross and carrying that cross to that mountain and hilltop. But how do we know he had joy? Because he had strength. How do we know he had strength? Because he was able to look down from that cross instead of curse out everyone mocking him. He says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Joy of the Lord became his strength to be able to continue to reflect the love of God. Because I don't know about you, but I don't know if I would have been able to do that. But he had the grace from his Father to accomplish what his Father asked him to do because he was obedient to it. He was empowered. And he was strengthened to do something that is unbelievably hard to do. That's amazing love. That's crazy love. This obedience in the act of sacrifice becomes a reflection of love and that commitment. It reflects his heart. Because I am lining up my own will to his will. I'm doing things his way, the way he asked me to do it. I'm saying yes to you, Lord, even though I don't understand why. I'm not going to be that arrogant little, 9-year-old going, why? I'm going to be, yes, Dad. I know it's going to be tough, but I'm going to trust you to cover me, Dad. I'm going to trust you to back me up, Dad, to give me the strength I need to do this, Dad, to fill me with the love to be able to do this, Dad. I'm going to trust you that it's actually even going to be fun in the end and maybe even through the process it'll be fun. I'm going to trust you because you love me first and I love you. And I'm going to do it your will. Second point here is obedience reflects his will, which we kind of just a little bit touched on. In Hebrews, verse 7, this is Jesus saying this, "Behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me." What volume? What book? He's talking about the Old Testament. Everything that foreshadowed him in the Old Testament. In the volume of these things. In Isaiah. In what we just read in Samuel. In all those things. To do your will. The culmination of everything you've ever asked the Israelites to do and be like in order for them to maintain that relationship with you, to stay close to your heart, because your heart is for them to stay close to your heart because your heart wants to be close to theirs. In everything you've ever set up, from Genesis to Exodus to the commandments to the laws, what you've done in releasing the prophets and the priests to try to do everything possible to keep the people's hearts connected to your heart. In the volume of the book that's been written that foreshadowed what I embody. because I'm about to fulfill all those things right now. I do it by doing your will. See, when we obey, sacrifice is no longer a sacrifice. It becomes an act of love. And love is an expression in worship. So when I obey, and I am obeying in love His will, I am worshiping Him. It's an extension of my heart of worship. I'm saying, God, I worship you with everything I am. Out of this love, I worship, I adore you. I don't do things grudgingly. I don't do things because I have to. Because see, in worship, when I truly love someone, I don't have to do anything for them. I want to do things for them. Okay? I want to do things for them. When you're in love with somebody, doing the little things, whatever that might look like in your life, isn't a sacrifice. You're not complaining about spending the extra money or the extra time or the extra effort. You're doing it because you love them and you want to honor them and you want to bless them. So when I refrain my thoughts, renew my mind, and recognize that my sacrifice is not a sacrifice, it's obedience based in love to do His will. And to do His will is to touch His heart. That's the bottom line. To touch His heart. To realize this is what God's heart is, and I'm following through with His heart, becomes an act of love, and it becomes a willingness to do it. Not, oh man, I got to do this again. I work all day. My wife is home with our daughter all day. I can come home at 4 o'clock or 4:30 or 5, whenever it is I get home. And I could be like, you want me to watch her now? I've been working all day. I'm tired. But an act of love, a true love, says she's been working too. Her work was probably much harder than mine today. I love her. So being with my daughter, it was not a sacrifice anyway, but spending that time becomes a privilege, a blessing, a want, because it honors her. It's a different attitude. It's where the heart belongs. It becomes a grateful heart. Enter His gates with thanksgiving in your hearts and His courts with praise. That's a grateful heart that enters the presence of God. Obedience with a grateful heart based on love puts me in His presence, draws me, creates more intimacy between He and I. The more I release my love to Him, the more intimate I get to know Him. And the more I open my heart up to His love, the more intimate I can be with Him. So obedience leads to intimacy with God, because to do His will is to know His heart. And to know His heart is to line myself up closer to Him and be tighter in relationship with Him. So I'm learning to know Him, to be intimate with Him at a deeper level. And that's actually been, you know, one of my prayers this season and prayer for this church, is that as we fast this time, we go deeper, be more intimate in our relationship, to know Him more, to get deeper revelation of His heart. You know, one of the ways I encourage you to pray and ask for yourself, we know His will is for us to know His word, right? We don't have to ask Him, Lord, do you want me to read your word? That's a no-brainer. We know it is. But when we are obedient to that, and we choose to do it in love to know him, not because I have to know him, you would be surprised how all of a sudden the Word of God begins to leap off the page to you. And all of a sudden you're going, wow, I never noticed this about that. Or you start connecting the dots with things. You get deeper revelation of things you didn't get before. And you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's what happens when intimacy increases. And I love that. And I pray that for you as well as I pray that for me and my wife and for us to just go deeper with him during this time. Proverbs 21:3 says, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. In other words, to be in right standing with God, and God's justice is based on mercy and compassion and love. So being in the right position that we need to be in relationship with God, in right standing with him, is more acceptable to him than any sacrifice we can make. In his eyes, that is the ultimate sacrifice. Psalm 51:16, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it to you. You will not be pleased with burnt offerings. Why? Because it's not the act he's concerned about. It's the heart before the act. It's the desire before the sacrifice. It's the willingness and the passion and the hunger before whatever we do. How willing are you to commit to this? I mean, the really basic question is do you want to go deeper with me? Do you really want to know me more? Do you want to be more in tune with me than you have ever been? Do you want my presence to be such a natural flow in your life? Do you want my supernatural to be natural in your life and lifestyle? Do you want my thoughts to be your thoughts and my heart to flow out of your heart, because out of the mouth, the heart speaks, so it becomes out of words. It's kind of what Clarice mentioned earlier. Intimacy grows. All of a sudden, the way we talk, things come out of us because it's in our hearts first. And it just becomes a natural flow. And Jeremiah 7, 21-23 says this, thus says the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifice and eat meat. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifice. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you will be my people, and walk in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well with you. You want to do all that other stuff? Great. But that's not important to me. The only thing I'm asking you to do, son, the only thing I'm asking you to do, daughter, is obey my voice. Stay close to me, and you will be my people, and I'll be your God. That's all I'm asking you to do. Stay tuned. And I love the fact that he says, and that it may be well with you. In other words, there's going to be benefits that comes with this. There will be blessings that will naturally flow out of this. There'll be beautiful things that God will birth through this, and beautiful things that he has birthed that he will nurture and grow through this. Obey his voice. Do his will. And this will keep us close to his heart. I want you to stand with me, if you would, right now. Just position your hearts and yourselves in that receiving position. As I was just sharing these things, I want you to just start worshiping Him right now. The Holy Spirit immediately impressed upon my heart that He's asked many of us in this room to do specific things under the guise of do His will. He's asked you to do some things. Some have said no to Him. Some have kind of tried to poo-poo it and not even answer Him back. Not a yes, not a no, just kind of table it. I want you to take a few moments right now and just examine your heart with Him right now and just go to that place. Go back to those things that He spoke to you about. Go back to those things, to that moment He said, even if it was a fleeting thought that just came and went, go back to that thought and ask the Holy Spirit, was this from You? He might be asking you to do something that you're not comfortable doing. It might be more specific than that, with specific actions and things with people. I don't know. But I do know God has been speaking to many of us in this room about specific things. And many of them, we've yet to completely say, just like Isaiah, here am I, send me. Yes, Lord. So just work it out with the Holy Spirit right now. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. What I'm hearing right now is that some of the thoughts that we're struggling with is, Lord, this is too much. I can't handle this. Or You're asking me to do something too big. Remember, He will give you the grace to accomplish. He'll never ask you to do something that you can't do in Him. And the key is staying in Him. Lord. Need more, Lord. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that as people are saying yes to You, just these specific things, that an immediate baptism of peace come over them. Lord God, it's just a confirmation of the yes. Immediate peace, Lord. Come over them. Yes, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Holy Spirit, thank You. If God spoke to you in this way and just baptized you in His peace, would you just raise your hand? I just want to see how many of us were specifically spoken to and touched in those things. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You, Father. Okay. Just want to give a few more seconds. The Holy Spirit, keep working. Thank You, Lord. Thank you, Father. More peace, Lord. More peace. More release of your peace. Thank you. In a moment, we're going to go into our small groups of threes and fours. And as you know, family prays together. Healthy family prays together. I want you to get together with in a minute with a couple of your family members. You know, and I'd like the focus of your prayer time is to bless one another with the ability to just follow through in everything God has asked you to do, whether it's great or small. The ability to sustain the fast, ability to consecrate the time of praying in this time. And for some, even the ability to keep pressing into the things you're believing God in without not get discouraged. So just when we come together, just bless each other in those things. Pray for strength and pray for even fun. That it becomes joyous and fun through the process, not just waiting till January 31st to come. Yes, Lord. So, Father, I just, right now, as we're getting ready to get into our prayer groups, Lord, I just bless each person here. I just bless, Lord, what you are doing in their lives, what you are releasing as heaven's opening up and pouring out, as each person is receiving and has lined themselves up with your heart in a place of obedience, Lord, as we just submitted it all to you and gave it all to you. That your grace is sufficient and encouraging and empowering to do everything that you have established in heaven to do in every person's life and in this church. Thank you, Lord. Would you just break up in your just small groups? If you're a visitor or a guest, just stay where you are. Somebody from our body will come and surround you. Just pray with one another, and then you're released to go.